From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE. ABQ Connect.
Welcome into ABQ Connect. Jim Williams with you. Steve Ryman will be with you Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week. I'm joined in studio today by Susie Blake. She's the Director of Development at the Grief Center. They're a resource center for not only children, but all the way through adults. And I've recently found out they're actually helping and encouraging caregivers and all kinds of cool things Susie is going to talk to us about today. And then one of their sponsors, Julie Morrell, she is a partner in a new Albuquerque business called Urban Mama 505 Kombuchery. And they are doing a lot of things to not only provide a neat product in Albuquerque, but support this amazing charitable organization. Ladies, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And you get frustrated with me because I yell at you, smile on the radio. But it's actually true.
I know.
Even though we've got a very heavy subject sometimes. I mean, there's just a lot of hurting people. And I get the sense from both of you, the few times that I've met with both of you, that you're both encouragers. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to lift people up. You want to make people feel like, well, I have a way of saying it. I believe people need to see themselves the way God sees them. And
beautiful.
So many times we're tearing each other down. We're doing things that are negative. And so I really appreciate that about both of you. Susie, tell us about the Grief Center and what you do.
Sure. Some of the listeners out there may know us more as the Children's Grief Center. We started back in 2001 in the Albuquerque area, very grassroots. There was, unfortunately, an unexpected death of a teenager, and the mom knew how important it was to get grief support, and she could find that for herself as an adult and as a parent. But when she looked around to find support services for her other children, she couldn't find anything. Mm-hmm. And so that gap needed to be filled. And so she talked to some friends. She's a therapist, so she talked to some friends. She connected with some other folks who had been a part of a children's grief group in Texas. So they kind of knew how the program needed to work, and they got together and started the Children's Grief Center. And so for almost 20 years, we operated under that name, and we were providing support for children at age 5 all the way up through age 25, as well as the adult in their life, so whoever that caregiver was. Mm-hmm. And then in 2019, we were approached by another organization in the community called the Grief Resource Center, and they were doing pretty much the same thing, providing support groups for grieving people, but they were focused on adults. And so we thought it would be a good fit for them to merge into the Children's Grief Center, and both board of directors agreed upon that. And as a result, we updated our name to reflect the fact that we do serve all, and we actually now serve age 3 all the way up. So we recently started a preschool group.
Wow.
As well. So the Grief Center and the Children's Grief Center are one and the same. It's just that we now serve a lot more people.
Your website is still childrensgrief.org?
Actually, that changed as well.
Okay.
So thank you for pointing that out. It's griefnm, as in New Mexico, .org. And there's a lot of information on that website, and we'll be referring to that in our conversation.
And one of the first questions I have, you are a 501c3 organization, which mm-hmm. is, you know, we love to support people that are caring for other people. You're a frequent guest on the program. We love to have you. And this is going to tie into Julie, but I want you to tell our listeners how you're funded.
You know, we receive support from so very many groups and people throughout the community, as well as foundations. And so Julie's support, we actually got to know each other, two years ago. Wow, time flies. And Julie and her business wanted to do something to give back to the community. And she decided to come to us and present an idea where she would give proceeds back from the sales of one of her kombucha flavors, Clear Lima, to the Grief Center. And so we've had that relationship for the last 2 years, and it's been wonderful. And so having small businesses within the community step up and say, you know what, I can do something. Here's what I propose. What do you think? And then they're able to be kind of our ambassadors for the services that we provide in the community. Mm-hmm. And then we also help them by making sure that our audiences know about their support and how they can go about supporting them.
So if there's a business listening now, how do they get in touch with you?
Really, the easiest thing to do is just to give me a call at the Grief Center, and that phone number is 505-323-0478.
0478. Mm-hmm. Urban Mama 505 Kombuchery. I'm going to turn around two questions here because she's already kind of answered one of the questions about how you're supporting this charitable organization, sure. Julie. But this business, you're a partner, and where are you located first?
We're on U.S. Route 66, and okay. We're just thrilled to be there. We're just west of 10th Street. The old building that we occupy in the 1950s was the Social Security Unemployment Office. And we're bringing some light down there. We're right next door to the barber.
10th and Central.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got parking across the street, around the corner.
Mm-hmm. We call it a park and stroll.
Yeah. Well, it there is a lot of redevelopment downtown, and that's one of your goals. It's a place that you have affection for, and you're going to give us some history about your dad and some things. But before we do that, let's talk about what kombucha is, because I think there's people maybe listening now. Hey, are they talking about an alcoholic beverage and they're going to be mad at me for that?
Right.
And I want to make sure you tell us what kombucha is and maybe some of the health benefits of it.
Yes, thank you. Well, we're striving to be the premier non-alcoholic venue here in Albuquerque on U.S. Route 66. And kombucha basically is slightly fermented sweet tea. And in that slight fermentation, it creates an effervescent probiotic that's just very healing for the microbiome, the organs, and immune system in our body. And it's been around since the pyramids. It's an ancient healing elixir. Now, that said, we have to also put in the addendum that fermented foods are not for every body. And the best example of that is how some of us can make a taco with our tongue and how some of us like cilantro and some of us hate cilantro. It's just like that for the body. But if it's a welcoming beverage to your body, and ours is an easier drinking kombucha because it's made with the Kangen alkalized water, and you drink it regularly, the vitality benefits are really to be reaped from it.
Yes. And what are your typical hours for being open?
We're down there 11 to 6, Wednesday through Saturday.
And I also understand that you have a number of restaurants utilizing your product.
We do. We have, I think we have about 45 wholesale accounts throughout the city. We've been producing commercially for just over 2 years and just opened the new space just about 5 months ago. To offer that space to the community. And
Julie, why the Grief Center and why are you supporting them?
Well, I just feel, I really think that everyone's grieving in just some phase or another. And having experienced a severe grief journey myself, really needed that support. I experienced it, and love shared is the key to life. And being able to support this phenomenal organization that supports any person at any age, at any stage of the grief journey, because it comes back around. It can come back around from a smell or a conversation. And sometimes you need a touch. You need to come back and know that you're not alone and that this is a normal process that we go through, and I want to be part of the light of Christ Jesus, sharing that love and support to others who may need it.
Yeah. Susie, I want to ask you about New Mexico. And this is not, this is just kind of a state of New Mexico. Why is it that we have the highest incident of child bereavement? Is it the poverty level? Is it difficult things happening in our state? That's something that we learned about New Mexico some time ago, and you guys are really helping to step in and help.
Yeah, so there is what's called the Children's Bereavement Estimate Model, and that research is done nationally. And so for a national average, 1 in 14 children under the age of 18 will experience the death of a parent or a sibling, so a direct family member. And from there, the estimate model then takes a look at all the different states. And New Mexico is second in the nation when it comes to childhood bereavement. And so 1 in 8 children will experience that death. Why that is that we just don't have a lot of mental health resources available throughout the state. So that's why we provide our services for free. When somebody dies, we know that their finances can be uncertain. And so we don't want to put up any barriers with having to go through insurance or pay a fee to attend. We want it to be, as Julie said, really open to anybody who is grieving the death of an important person in their life. And so, you know, we do a lot of services locally. In Albuquerque, we have a hybrid groups that we also offer for adults. And so if there are people who cannot get to us on Carlisle Boulevard at the Center for Hope and Healing, they can join through Zoom. And then we also do a camp for kids ages 7 through seniors in high school in an community outside of the Albuquerque area.
You mentioned you just did one of those in Las Cruces.
Yeah. So we were down in Las Cruces. We partnered up with the New Mexico, University of New Mexico social workers, and they actually were our volunteers. And then the camp is free, and it was a day camp. It was held 2 weekends ago, and the kids attending didn't know each other. They had all just experienced a death. And by the end of the day, it was like there was such a great bond that they formed and some friendships. And so we want to be able to do that every year, do a camp in an outlying area. And so it changes from year to year.
I want to say this, and this is not something we've talked about, so I hope you won't want to whack me in the head for saying this, but obviously, we have many, many Christian church people listening right now. Mm-hmm. But I want to give you a scenario. Let's say that there's a family death at a particular church. One of the things that I like about the Grief Center is that a child maybe has lost a parent. Mm-hmm. That child would be able to, at the Grief Center, be with other children that have lost someone. Whereas in your church, you know, you may have somebody that has had that experience in the past, but maybe is not going through it really recently. It sounds like the healing process would be much more effective and counseling if you were with some other people experiencing the same thing.
Exactly. And I think that that's a model for a lot of support groups that are out there in the community. And for children, you know, they're in a situation where they know something has changed in their life. It depends on how much is being communicated or shared with them from the family. Sometimes the family wants to protect the children and not really talk a lot about the death and the circumstances. It also could be a stigmatized death.
Does your team walk families through this and what's best for the family?
You know what? What we do is we have the support group for kids. So they're all age appropriate. So we have our preschool group. We have our littles, which are 5, 6, and 7, our middles, tweens, teens, young adults. And so they are kids all about the same age that are meeting twice a month for an hour and 15 minutes. And those groups are being led by bereavement facilitators, and they are all volunteers. And the facilitator's role is really not to provide advice or problem solve. That's really the job of the group. Mm-hmm. So for the little ones, we know that they learn and express themselves through play. So we have a lot of activities where, you know, like a Jenga game, you know, where they build the blocks mm-hmm. up. And mm-hmm. when they pull a block out, on that block could be a question such as, what is your favorite memory of your person? Mm-hmm. And so when they pull that block out, then they can answer that question, and then they can talk about it a little bit more with others. So we try to find engaging ways to keep children, you know, sharing. But if they don't want to share, that's okay too. As far as the, you know, the caregivers and the children or the families, what happens is we hear often that when everybody gets in the car to go home, mm-hmm. those conversations continue to happen. And because they are sharing their stories and feelings in a safe space, their home then becomes that safe space to open up those lines of communication. And so that's really where a lot of the healing can take place, is at home, because they got things started at the Grief Center.
I love it. Susie Blake is the Director of Development at the Children's Grief Center, actually the Grief Center. Their website is griefnm.org. They are an amazing organization, and you're going to find out more about them in our second segment here. We also have entrepreneur Julie Morell. She is a partner with Urban Mama 505 Kombuchery. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more about what's going on and what's happening. Don't forget the website, childrensgrief.org. And Julie, I should give your website too about your products. What's that website?
Our website is Urban Mama, U-R-B-A-N-M-A-M-A 505.com.
.com. We'll be back with Susie and Julie right after these messages. We're joined this afternoon by Julie Morell and Susie Blake. Susie is the Director of Development with the Grief Center. They do some amazing things to help people work through grief. And Julie Morell, who's a local entrepreneur, a partner in Urban Mama 505 Kombuchery. Julie, you kind of have a heart for people that are caregivers.
Right.
And, you know, through COVID all the way through now, I personally have had a big concern about caregivers, because very often caregivers are so invested in the people they're caring for, they don't take care of themselves.
Right.
And you have a heart for supporting them as well, don't
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. Our kombuchery stands in that place of healing. We offer the Kangen alkalized water. We offer the local boutique kombucha. Very healing and helpful in keeping your immune system up and keeping you healthy. Often the caregivers are almost as sick as the people that they're caring for. It takes true diligence to do it well and to care for yourself so that you can be the vessel that is overflowing.
I'm thinking about an airplane. What's the first thing they teach you when
put the oxygen mask on yourself
exactly.
before you help somebody else? Exactly. And we're happy to be a space where those groups can come together. We offer a space where various groups on the grief journey can come together and have their meetings. The Grief Coalition, the Light, the Heartlight Center, they can host, you know, have a place to host their meetings for those that are grieving in all walks, every walk, various groups that are needing a place.
And Susie, obviously, with the volunteers you have and the caregivers mm-hmm. and the facilitators, I shared with you, I thought at one time that I was called to do counseling. Mm-hmm. And I have to just say that counseling ate me up. I mean, I felt like I wanted to jump off a cliff, because
Very
I
difficult.
Couldn't separate myself from just loving the people and feeling what they were feeling that I was counseling with. So I knew that was not my calling. And I so admire people that are caregivers. I've recently cared for my parents who have both passed away. And that was really an extra special time to be closer to two people that I was always close to.
And to give back.
But Susie, your heart, I've made the mistake a couple times of calling you the Children's Grief Center.
That's
because
okay.
Because I've had you on the show multiple mm-hmm. times talking about that. But I'm so excited about you just being the Grief Center. And you're working with kids from 3 all the way through adulthood. Mm-hmm. Just an amazing thing that you do.
And thank you. It's so needed. And it really is a vital community resource. And I don't want to go off on a tangent because of why that is so important. But as far as caregivers go, we really saw through the pandemic how hard our nurses and doctors and right. mental health practitioners and teachers and,
firefighters,
so many people were faced with a really overwhelming situation. And so what we wanted to do was provide an opportunity for those professionals who are connected directly with people who are going through grief or who are experiencing death, giving them a space and a place to be able to work on themselves and talk about how they're feeling. And so we started the Grief Coalition group, and we don't own the group at the Grief Center, but we just felt that it was very much needed in our community. And as a result, we've had, I think, about 70 people are participating in this coalition. And we provide them, or they provide each other, with opportunities to get together and learn professionally. I believe it's once a month or every other month, and then also smaller support groups. And so that's what Julie was referring to, is that we just had a support group meet at her location to, again, just give those folks who are filling everybody else's cup and helping them to fill their own and know that they're not alone, and to take care of themselves.
I love that. Hey, you have a bunch of things coming up
yes.
November and December. We've only got a couple minutes left,
yep.
but I want our listeners to know about all the things happening
sure.
With the Grief Center.
So we moved into our new location about a year ago, the Center for Hope and Healing, and that is located at 4125 Carlisle Boulevard Northeast, and that's between Montgomery and Comanche. And next month is National Children's Grief Awareness Month, so November. And during that month, we have several events that are happening. So if people want to support us, they can come to one of these events. So Nico Nico, which does soft serve ice cream, they're down in the Sawmill Marketplace. They'll provide 10% of the 10% back to the Grief Center on their ube flavor soft serve. And
it's delicious.
Yes. And it's purple. And that's kind of our signature color.
Yeah.
We also have a Kelly Joe paint party coming up on the 15th of November. On the 16th, we have a taco club at Casa Taco. And then on the 21st, we'll be down at Hotel Albuquerque for a pie fundraiser that is put on by Rickert Property Group. So
if somebody's driving in their car and they couldn't write this all down, they can go to griefnm.org and click on the events tab.
Absolutely.
Give us that website one more time.
So it's griefnm.org/events. And there's also all of our workshops as well on there. So if somebody's interested in just kind of checking us out by joining a workshop, we'd love to have you.
505-323-0478 is your number?
Yes. And that's the number that if anybody is wanting to learn more about our services, that's the first thing that they should do, is they should give us a call. And what we'll do is we'll have a brief conversation with them and see if we're a good fit for what they feel they need. And then we'll go from there.
I love it. Julie Morrell, Urban Mama 505 Kombuchery, your website one more time.
It's urbanmama505.com.
I love it. Thank you both for joining us on ABQ Connect today.
My pleasure.
Good to see you. We're going to be back with Carla Sontag with the New Mexico Business Coalition. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.